Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenge. And today's Thursday, so it's the day we try to put into practice, to live out and apply what we've been learning all week. And this week we've been learning about how deciding to follow Jesus resets every area of our lives, including our finances. Followers of Jesus are meant to view money differently from others. Money's never to become something we worship, that we put at the center of our lives, that we pursue in and of itself. But we always want it to be connected with an actual good, with an actual value in line with God's kingdom plans. That can be challenging. And it's certainly not the way the world works. At our coffee hours a couple weeks ago, I was sitting in chapters, and over at the next table, I could hear some guys talking about motorcycles. They were pretty into motorcycles. And one of these guys was talking about how he was about to sell his house, and he was going to use the profits, pretty much all of them, to buy his dream bike, a 2013 this or that. I don't even remember what the bike was. One of the other guys he knew got pretty upset with that. He said, "See, you can only do that because you're single. I couldn't spend like that. I actually have responsibilities." And they argued back and forth a little bit about that. But in the end, the other guy said, "You know what? You're right." He said, "I have responsibilities too. I shouldn't really do it, but it's my dream bike. Even though there are better things I could spend my money on, I have to have it." These guys provided a good contrast. They had pretty different values when it came to what to do with money in life. Partly that's just their different experiences. One has a family, one doesn't. Or just maybe different backgrounds and just practical explanations like that. But you also have to wonder if the guy who wants to go and buy his dream bike is ever going to see his values about money change someday. Whether he'll end up with a family himself and wish he hadn't spent so much money on a bike that lost a bunch of its value after he took it off the lot. Or you have to wonder if someday he's going to look at this thing and say, "It's not my dream bike anymore. That 2013 bike, that's so old, and it'll just end up sitting in his garage." Or what happens when someday he can't ride a bike anymore? He has an illness or he's just aging. Is it still going to be his dream bike then? Or is it just going to be something sitting in his garage, wasting insurance money, that he can't quite bring himself to sell, knowing that it won't get near the value he paid for it? There's nothing wrong with motorcycles, of course, in and of themselves. But when a motorcycle becomes our dream, at the expense of other important things in life, we have a problem. We have a problem with how we view money. We have a problem with how we view possessions. They're starting to take on more value than they really actually have, starting to become an idol. In the reading from the Bible that we looked at yesterday, Paul used some language that Jesus had used before, and he said, we need to store up our treasures in heaven, not on earth. And Jesus added to that and said, not on earth where moths come and eat up clothes and rust comes and destroys things. Pretty visible with a motorcycle. It's something that does decay. It does need constant maintenance, constant insurance. This guy even needed an alarm system for this bike. Jesus and Paul are both saying something very clear. Store up your treasures in heaven where they're of eternal and lasting value. And don't confuse things in this world with eternal, lasting things. Put another way, we need to dream bigger dreams. We need to dream about things bigger than motorcycles, bigger than houses. We need to dream about things bigger than this world. We need to dream about God's kingdom. That's what a follower of Jesus is called to do. Does that mean a follower of Jesus never has a motorcycle, never owns a house, never? No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying those things cannot be our dream. They can't define us. They can't be done to the expense of other important things in life. They have to have their place. And that can't be God's place. We've talked about sin before, and I've defined it as when we take something even good in this world, we make it our ultimate good, and that's actually very bad for us. What sin does is it holds us back. It really kind of holds us down like chains wrapped around our hearts, especially when it comes to money, because it's one of the easiest things to take God's place in our lives. Jesus himself said it, that it's one of the most likely candidates to consume our hearts, to become our object of worship. And so he said, you can only serve one master. You can't serve both God and money. You got to pick one love or the other. You can only wholly give your life as a slave to money or to God. They can't both have your entire hope and dream wrapped up in them. Now, to free ourselves from those chains, what we need to do is learn to gain what we can in order to save what we can, so we can give as much as we can. It's really important that we have those things working together in our financial lives, that we're not completely consumed by either just gaining, or saving, or just giving. We want to make sure that we're able to gain so we can save, so we can give. When we put money in its proper place, using principles like that, that's when we're able to break the chains of sin in our lives, take money down from being an ultimate good to simply be something good in our lives. And then God can be our ultimate good. God can actually be God, can lead us and guide us. His Holy Spirit can work in us as we gain, save, and give. In our series on Becoming Like Family, we talked about what it means for us to become followers of Jesus and a community of followers of Jesus. And part of that was generosity. We want to be a church community, Redeemer Church, as we start meeting together as one body. We want to be known for our generosity, for our care of others. Generosity is one of the most important ways to break those chains of sin in our lives, to start giving, because it's one of the ways that sin holds us down most is by telling us it's ours and we shouldn't give it away. And so to really break sin's hold in our lives, we need to learn to give. And in that series, I encouraged you to think about giving three different ways. One, giving to Christian ministries like Redeem the Commute, Redeemer Church. Giving to other kinds of organizations that you know are doing work consistent with God's kingdom plans, whether that's something medical or otherwise, something that you know would be consistent with God's plans for this world through His kingdom. And then finally, I encourage you to save as well. So when a neighbor or friend or family member is in need, you're able to help them directly. Those are three great ways to break the chains of sin in our lives, its hold over us, by giving. By learning to give is when we learn to give our hearts to God first and to trust Him. So I've got a challenge for you to try to put into practice today. What I want you to do is write, sketch, or imagine God's dream for you in His kingdom. What lasting impact has He positioned you to make on the world? Why has He put you where you are with the resources you've got? And what financial changes would you have to make in order to actually follow through on it? This would be something great to discuss with a friend or neighbor, somebody you know from the train or bus or from work. Whoever it might be, I encourage you not to just think about this alone, but work it through with a group. Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.